Two Bears, real quick. A lot of cool stuff on the Patreon last week and this week. Patreon.com/Between Two Bears. Last week, Evan, we had a nice chat with Shehan Jayaraja during our youth group, which happens on Wednesdays around lunchtime. Talked about expectations for a program kind of like Baylor, what stability means, how you can achieve stability, as well as when we opened it up to the rest of the group, just kind of for an open chat, getting mad online and what that must be like as a national football writer. But now that that is out of the way, happy Tuesday.
Happy doing? Tuesday. No, it's Wednesday, Matt. Well, today's Wednesday.
Okay, that's fine too. It can be Wednesday.
Yeah.
Yeah, it is Wednesday.
Both.
It can be both.
Yeah, we had our first youth group last week. It's one of like whenever we were talking about doing stuff together, like a weekly youth group type thing was like probably my number two reason why I wanted to do it. So it was really cool. We had some people join. Shehan was there. He was great. Matt, can I ask you a few questions about youth group?
Sure. Yeah.
As a child, did you attend those? Were you a youth grouper? I was a big youth grouper.
We were not the biggest church family. Okay. So youth group happened more of like in a school context, because mm-hmm. I did go to a private school for a period of time that was Lutheran. And so we didn't get like all of the Baptist like youth group things. But I get the general vibe. Yeah.
Yeah. I think you know this about me, but I grew up like tremendously Catholic, like so Catholic. So we were big youth groupers, and we had four kids under 10 years old. So, I mean, we were up in there, and like, we were there every Wednesday. Our dad was like a youth group teacher. So it was just like, we went to church on Wednesdays, and I just thought that was like a normal thing everyone did. I also was like a real shithead as a kid. So I thought that youth group was on Wednesdays because soccer practice was on Tuesday and Thursday. I was like, I was like, yeah, of course.
So everything is built around Evan's schedule.
The world starts on my agenda and then like builds out from there. So that's why we're doing it on Wednesdays. Actually, I don't know if you know that's why, but that's definitely why I suggested Wednesdays.
Well, it works best.
I have soccer practice.
It works best with my schedule, at least. I've been able to carve out a little bit of the day job time on Wednesdays, so it seems to be working well for now. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. We just kind of open. If you're familiar, or if you're a patron of Split Zone Duo, a fantastic college football podcast, very educational, the opposite of this. They do something similar where people can come in and ask questions, but we make it more chaotic than that, surprisingly. Mm-hmm. So we just open it up to everybody, and it's just a big decompression session, a nice lunch hour where you can just say what's on your mind, and there's no judgment. There's some judgment, but there's not a lot. Yeah.
One, like, my thing is I'm all about like organic things, like just letting shit happen. That's why I don't like to plan anything for this podcast. I just like the energy to move the conversation. But I think if I did get to make the rules for youth group, like if I got to set the parameters, it would be like everyone like brings their lunch and we all eat our lunch and just bullshit for 40 minutes.
I might do that today. Last week was a little different with the structure of the interview. Yeah. Last week was a little different with the structure of the interview, but yeah, I think I'll bring my lunch today, and yeah, it'll be a lot of fun. Kind of a weird couple weeks. We talked last week about coping with one basketball loss. Coping with the first basketball loss in seemingly 4 years. And, you know, the
first ladies team. First since Oklahoma State, right?
Yeah, something like that. And the ladies had, you know, two or three losses to start conference play as well. So it was just, it felt like kind of a down week. Oh, how quickly things can change. Oh, how quickly things can change.
I don't know if you saw, but the sky fell.
The sky fell last week for a lot of people. And I think for people that the sky didn't fall, there was some legitimate concern and probably worthwhile concern. Because this Baylor basketball team did not look the same after losing Jeremy Sochan from the TCU game where he was injured, rolled his ankle, lower ankle sprain, thank goodness. And then James Akinjo in the Oklahoma State game injured his buttock. Not both buttocks. One buttock.
And buttock. And who buttock. Among us, you know?
Who hasn't broken their butt in
I think you make a good point that like the sky was falling for some people. But, and I know like in the last few weeks we've talked about like, oh, we're so spoiled, oh, we're on house money, all these things. But like, I'd like to just like zoom in on that for 1 second, because we have gone from having one of the best basketball program years that anyone has ever had in any school. And now this year we're just having like a regular, very, very good year for the program.
Yeah.
Like
a regular elite season,
a regular elite season. Yeah. We got a two top 15 teams with one team that went like 15-0 to start the year. So
yeah, man, it's just wild.
It's weird being back down here with all the mortals. You know, I kind of got comfortable up there in my ivory tower.
I think that's what my brain was trying to work on in the off season, is what is this championship going to do for expectations, right? What is the football championship going to do for expectations for other sports? How does this cascade among the fan base? Because I'm super interested in how people who are newer to basketball interpret the results throughout the season. And I'm going to make an assumption here that a lot of people who are newer to basketball have been watching football for longer. Mm-hmm. And so one loss in football is, you know, borderline catastrophic. So I'm trying to be understanding of those who freak out when a team loses a regular season, even a conference game. Mm-hmm. It is not normal to only lose one or two games in conference play. It's not normal. Even the best teams lose one or two games, the best teams ever, right?
And I like, I don't know, I feel like I'm wired to think about all of these things like through like a social lens. And I feel like part of the, I guess like annoyance is the word I'm going to use there, is because we have a lot of people. I feel like the number of people, if you made a stew and you one of the ingredients was every Baylor Twitter person, oof, that stew has probably about 1600 people more than it did 6 years ago.
Yeah.
So, you know, there's a lot of us who have been around like talking shit and getting our teeth kicked in for a long time. And I think even like people twice or three times as long as me. So I don't really loop myself into that. But I feel like over the last few years, we've been fortunate enough to get some more vocal people in that conversation. And they're only used to us winning everything all the time.
Right. Right.
Which has been very fun, but also, for lack of a better word, more of a blip. So these people were 100% of their experience has just been us talking shit before and then also getting to talk shit after games.
Afterwards, yeah, exactly.
So there's a large swath of people who aren't used to not that. And I feel like that's at least a little bit of what the deal is.
I think you're right on track. I absolutely think so. So to recap, yeah, Baylor loses a game at home after losing a game at home. The first number one team in college basketball ever to lose back-to-back games at home while ranked number one. Just making history. That's all we do here, is just make history.
That's all we do.
Yeah. It was, you know, it was a game where Baylor put themselves into a hole pretty early, fought back, made it an extremely close game at the end. And, you know, when you're missing your point guard, it's really hard to win when you don't have your main offensive engine. And so the outlook going into West Virginia was bleak, because, you know, right before tip, we did get confirmation that Sohan and Akinjo would be out. And so that leaves you with a rotation of six players, really.
Yeah.
Depending on how you consider Dale Bonner to be, you know, a rotation player or not, doesn't normally see the floor. I think we even got some Jordan Turner minutes in the West Virginia game.
Which I'm all for Jordan Turner minutes. I'm hopeful that he's, as they're saying, up next. That's what I'm hoping for.
We'll see. We'll see. There's work to be done there, but yeah, I'm not against it. Baylor comes out. The energy is way better than it was versus Texas Tech. West Virginia is an active defensive team, but not as talented defensively as Texas Tech or Oklahoma State. Matt Meyer comes alive. LJ Cryer comes alive. Shots start falling, and Baylor looked like Baylor again. And man, that was fun. It wasn't the best win by any means, but a win on the road in Morgantown is a great win no matter what.
Yeah. And I actually, someone sent me a very interesting like stat yesterday. So I'm going to talk for like 8 seconds until I find it.
Yeah.
Okay. It's from West Virginia stats guy, Joel. He said, Baylor has visited the Coliseum 3 times as a top 5 team. The average margin of those three games is West Virginia by 9 points. So it wasn't nothing yesterday. You know, we did something that we have historically not been able to do.
With a fully healthy team. Yeah.
A fully healthy team. That was, yeah. I would argue, more talented than this team in some respects.
Sure. The team that was fielded yesterday. Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. It has the ability. So the cool thing about a basketball season is, and I guess football to some degree, is that things can pivot instantly, like on a dime, right? The momentum of a game, the momentum of a season, right? These galvanizing moments that happen in a basketball season amongst a team of 12 people, you know, 14 people who are working together every day. This isn't a roster of 100 people like on a football team, right? This is 14 guys. And so you create a positive moment to galvanize around, and it can carry you for a while, right? It absolutely can. There were games in the championship season where Baylor did not play well, but really locked down defensively and won ugly. And those were moments like that, or Maceo Teague scoring 31, you know, versus Texas Tech, just absolutely obliterating them.
Yeah.
And that's a galvanizing moment. And I think this is, if holding Villanova to 36 points is the first one of this season, this is the second, right? This is the second wave. I would expect a high level of energy, a high level of confidence. I tweeted I think I got my swagger back gif related to Matt Meyer, because that's what it looked like. He was having fun out there again for the first time in a while.
Yeah.
I don't think he has enjoyed not scoring as much as he had even last year. So things looking up. And that was one of the hardest stretches of the Baylor men's schedule. Go for it.
Oh yeah. I was going to say two things. One, I wouldn't consider myself smart at basketball, like at all. I feel like I think about basketball the way babies think about Cocomelon. It's just like there's stuff on the TV.
And it's very stimulating.
And it's stimulating me and I'm having a good time. Like that is like a 1-to-1 ratio for me.
Sure.
Two, speaking of teams that haven't been playing their best and also have a lot of hard games coming up. Uh-oh. Matt, did you watch any other basketball games last night?
I did. I watched a little bit of Florida State Duke. Shout out Florida State for winning against Duke for the first time in a while. I don't really even know what other games might have been on TV though.
You know what's funny, last night is the most non-Baylor basketball I've watched on TV, I'm willing to say, in my whole life. I watched 4 basketball games yesterday. I had not a lot to do. I made some dinner and I watched a bunch of basketball. One of those games was Texas versus Kansas State came to Austin. Matt, I don't know if you know this about Kansas State. They're the worst team in the Big 12. And they're not bad, but they're the worst team in the Big 12.
From a talent perspective, they are lacking comparatively to other teams.
Yeah.
Absolutely. And it's not I'm not sure it's particularly close, but they do play hard and they have a reasonably competent coach. Some would argue that, but Kansas State, not great.
And the thing, this has to be like a freak accident because worst in the conference teams from Kansas don't just like march into Austin and win by 1 or 2 points. That's Austin? They don't do that. That's not a thing that happens.
I can't recall.
Wait, our editor has just sent me an urgent message, Matt.
Oh, no.
Apparently this has happened before and it happened 8 weeks ago.
Oh no, we messed up.
Many people are asking if the I-35 corridor, if the capital of that is Kansas.
I was dubious from the beginning. I did not expect that Texas team to be ranked number 5 to start the season, and they certainly don't deserve it now. Honest to God, Evan, they are at real risk of missing an at-large bid to the NCAA tournament, which would be wild. It'd be wild. They probably had their easiest game last night, and that turns it into 3 losses over the last 4 games with a slate upcoming of a very frisky Oklahoma State, as Baylor found out, at TCU versus Tennessee, at Texas Tech versus Iowa State versus Kansas, at Baylor, at Oklahoma their schedule. That was the easiest part of their schedule for sure. And they went 1-3. So
I know that we have like we've kind of talked about wanting to not make this like a a Texas slander podcast, and I agree that we shouldn't. But I do want to say this is very funny. This is incredible. For me personally, funny. I'm having a great time.
I'm having fun too. I mean, there were other other basketball games on as well. For instance, Iowa State played last night. Remember how everybody said Iowa State was going to win the conference and they're a top 10 team, blah, 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 blah.
Which sport are you referring to?
This is basketball.
Oh, okay.
This is basketball. And to be completely fair, they had a fantastic start to the season, and then conference play hit, and they lose to Baylor at home. They do beat Texas Tech at home, but then they go lost to Oklahoma, lost to Kansas. They do beat Texas, but then last night losing a very ugly game that I'm surprised got up to 72 points. Texas Tech beats them. So, I mean, that kind of opens up a general conversation about Big 12 basketball as a whole. What a meat grinder. God, this conference is really fun to be a fan of if you can bring yourself to be a fan of this conference from a basketball perspective. But damn, it's hard to win. In like just on a nightly basis in this conference.
Yeah. And like I, as someone who likes to watch Baylor win, but isn't necessarily passionate about the sport of basketball, I feel like if I didn't get so much joy out of just talking shit to strangers on the internet, I would probably be saying to myself like, okay, we know that a lot of this conference is going to make the tournament. We know Baylor should, if they're healthy, hit the Elite Eight. Like that's what I'm saying to myself. I'm probably turning my TV off for the next 3 months. If I'm just like a casual Baylor person who doesn't care a lot about basketball, I'm probably, you know, just going to tune back in when the tournaments get going, because I've learned everything I need to learn. And if we're healthy and if a meteor doesn't hit the earth, we should be playing in that second weekend in
March. I think that's fair. I think that's fair. Current standings, Kansas getting a win in Norman. They are 4-1. Baylor 4-2, Texas Tech 4-2. Texas Tech does have that tiebreaker, so they're probably technically second. And then TCU is 2-1, currently fourth in the conference. And then you have Texas, West Virginia, Oklahoma State, Iowa State, Oklahoma, and Kansas State still last in the Big 12, tied with Oklahoma and Iowa State Oklahoma for that last spot. Very weird conference. The longest winning streak is 3 right now from Kansas. Nobody has more than a 3-game winning streak.
And those Kansas wins have not been by a lot of points. They have all of them in the last week and a half have come down to the last possession.
Yeah. This Kansas team is talented. But there's something off, right? Offensively, they get distracted at times, is the best way I can put it, right? Mm-hmm. They don't know exactly what they're looking for at times. Defensively, I'm just not sure they're fantastic defensively.
Yeah.
I don't know how far this Kansas team goes playing the way they are currently playing. They have the talent to get much better. I will say that.
Yeah.
I'm trying to be objective, but
they have the talent to get much better. Yeah, no, they definitely do. There's probably a smarter basketball way to phrase what I'm about to say, so feel free to cut me off and take off whenever you figure out the point I'm trying to make. But they, from the few games I've watched, because I have been watching basketball this season, they appear to be a team that if you really, really need to get a basket on this possession, like you really, really need to do that, they can go do that. But like in the run of play, they're not going to average a crazy amount of points per possession.
I think that's a great way to put it, right? When, you know, in clutch situations, they have the players to go make individual clutch plays for sure. They have more than the average team. Mm-hmm. But yeah, if you catch them sleeping and, you know, they walk up to a gym thinking that they're to Kansas and this is an easy walk in. Like some of these players are transfers. They don't understand that they truly don't. Remy Martin is from the Pac-12. He certainly doesn't understand how good each of these teams are.
Yeah.
I would expect Kansas to take 2, maybe 3 more losses during the conference
period. Well, and like you're saying with transfers and stuff, like I'm sure that they like obviously know how big of like a basketball brand nationwide Kansas is, but this is probably the first time since like AAU days where all of these guys are on a team where they're going to be getting everyone's biggest crowd and biggest shot every game. They're not just like a random weekday game. It's like people kind of plan their basketball calendars around when you're coming to town.
Yep.
That's a lot.
It wouldn't surprise me if Kansas took 2 losses over the next 5 games, right? They'll probably beat Kansas State, but then they have Texas Tech a resurgent Kentucky team in the Big 12 SEC Challenge at Iowa State, who is frisky. And then Baylor goes to Lawrence to play. And then the rest of their schedule honestly plays out pretty nicely for them. But I wouldn't be surprised if they took 2 to 3 more losses this season. Wouldn't surprise me.
Well, didn't you say that the Big 12 champion will likely have about 4 losses?
That's my
thought. Like you told me that. Yeah.
Yeah. That I think a lot of people are agreeing around 4 is probably where you would need to be to have a shot at it. Kansas might get out of there with 3, you know, depending on how this Tech, they have one more game against Tech, who did beat them. But Matt, I wouldn't be surprised if Baylor grabs them once.
It's been 3 years since I've seen a Baylor basketball team lose 4 games in a season, I think. Either of them.
That sounds accurate.
So I may need to reach out to some friends to figure out how I'm going to deal with that.
Yeah.
That feels like a lot.
A lot of therapy this season, for sure. Things are going really well, but we still might need some therapy. I get it. Lady Bears, I did mention that, I'm sorry, the women's basketball team did start conference play kind of rough, losing 3 games, but they get their first conference win versus Kansas.
Not easy.
Last couple minutes were stressful, but the Lady Bears get it done. Congratulations to them. I hope that is a momentum builder for them as well. Anything else in the basketball sphere that you'd like to discuss?
Yes. One, I wasn't able to watch this most recent women's basketball game, but I saw somewhere that we went on like a 7-point run with like 14 seconds left.
Yeah.
And we were like down
when that started. Yeah, in the last 20 seconds or so.
Do you have it in your brain to break down to me what happened? Because I don't. All I've seen is those words, and that sounds like someone's lying.
No, I was working on some either chores or I was doing work on the weekend. And so I looked down for just a brief period of time, and we would be up 1, down 1, up 1, down 1. And then there was a minute left, and I looked up, and the game was over. I was like, oh, dang. So I need to go rewatch that, and then maybe we can break that down a little bit later. But, yeah, that was a very impressive win. A lot of poise there from the women's basketball team. Can we just call them Lady Bears? Can we talk about this for 10 seconds? I understand that they changed the name. I understand why. I'm in support of that. But and maybe somebody who is more educated or more – you know, more accepting of or more understanding of why the name change was made. I don't find it insulting to call them the Lady Bears because they are, I don't know. I don't know, I guess is what I'm trying to say.
Yeah.
I'm finding it difficult to say women's basketball team and say that with the same amount of
clunky off the tongue.
I find it emotionally not as attaching, right? Like the Lady Bears, those are my Lady Bears, right? I root for the Lady Bears, right? I don't know.
Yeah, I feel that. Here's my full take. I have a policy where if someone tells me what to call them, I just kind of do it and try not to think about it ever again.
Yeah.
It is hard when for I have individuals. Talked. Yeah. Yeah. Or yeah, just like generally. Yeah. But it is hard when I do so much talking about our women's basketball team, not to a player or someone who like identifies as someone on that team or is on scholarship or something. Mm-hmm. So it's so hard to like in conversations with people just to like make that switch. So I think I just need a little time to get the muscle memory down.
I am trying.
But it is a clunkier string of letters to say. And that's something that has made the switch a little harder for me.
Because there needs to be clarification on what team you're talking about, right? You can be talking about the Bears. Mm-hmm. And I understand that the women's basketball team is just as much the Bears as anybody else. Some would say a lot more. I'm not trying to take that away. I'm just trying to clarify who I'm talking about. And the Lady Bears feels cool to me. Cooler than women's basketball team.
Yeah, it loses some spunk when it becomes when it's that many syllables. Nope, that's the same amount of syllables. So that's not the word I'm looking for there. But yeah, no, I see what you're saying. It's just and there's probably a more nuanced way to talk about this, but it's just not as fun to say. And I don't think that's a good enough reason
I think we're on
to
the same
stop. Page. Yeah. So that's it.
You know what is? Yeah. You know what is fun to say?
Tell
you know
me
what
that.
Is fun to say? Saving 15% at Home Field Apparel with code BEARS12. That's a lot more syllables, but it's equally as fun to say, I think. Home Field Apparel, it's time for a refresh. You know, right around the corner, spring is going to be here. And I'm going to morph back into t-shirts, less long sleeve hoodies and stuff. So I probably need to do a refresh of the Baylor gear. I might, I think Middle Tennessee was recently released. They're doing Big New Saturday again now too. So you can subscribe and get a t-shirt every month or so for a discount. Highly recommend you check that out. Again, that's code BEARS12 for 15% off. And Home Field Apparel, fantastic, fantastic. The best collegiate sports apparel that is out there right now. Other places around the internet, you had brought to my attention that ESPN did the top 100 college football games this year, and that Baylor was all 100 of them, I think is what you said.
Yes, it was all 100. Okay. Let me actually get that list up in front of me again, because I do have some thoughts to share.
Well, Baylor did make the top 50, I think, 1, 2, 3, 4, 5 times in the top 50, I believe.
That's what I'm seeing. 50, yep. 49. We have number 46.
Yeah, 5 times.
We've got 44, which was us on the losing end.
Don't like that. It was a good game if you were an objective observer, but from a Baylor perspective, not so much. But yeah, let's start with number 50. Baylor 31, right. Texas 24.
I had a great time.
I had a lot of fun.
Some favorite memories from this game include Texas doing a fake punt on their own end of the field, down 11. And I think Cameron Dicker was the only one who knew it was a fake punt. If you want me to like not make a joke, I think he was the only one that was like, it's Cameron Dicker time.
Oh my God. Was that this last season, the fake punt?
I think this was the game where like a Texas assistant coach had tweeted something like, oh, the best thing about Waco is Fazoli's. And then Coach Mateo.
It was not like, an assistant coach. It was not an assistant coach. It was.
Oh, it was the head coach. Yeah, no, Sark said it. Yeah,
no, it wasn't. That. No, it was. It was a blogger not to be named from an SB Nation blog not to be named.
Oh. Well, whoever they is, it caught wind with Coach Mateos, and he posted a picture after the game that was like, great team win, going to Fazoli's to celebrate. And
One of the best Twitter moments this season, for sure. Number 49, Baylor 27, Texas Tech 24. I personally wouldn't put this in the top 50 because it was pretty special. Didn't like it all that much. Baylor was very much so a businessman-like effort. Just get in, get the job done, get out.
Yeah. Matt, would you like to know my favorite thing about this game? This game was the second week in a row that I sat at the same Chili's in downtown Houston in the same seat and charged my phone in the same plug to watch my Bears play some football.
Again, I worry for you that was your decision there to go to Chili's. But
we were driving back from New Orleans, and I was like, hey, there's that Chili's. Should we stop and watch the Baylor game? And my girlfriend was like, yeah, I would love some skillet queso.
Well, you two are a match for sure, because I don't know that either myself nor my wife would be saying, yes, can't wait to Chili's we go to watch sports.
Same bartender, too.
Well, there you go. Good luck,
and both times we were the first people in that Chili's.
Oh boy. I
would like to believe that bartender is just the Saturday morning guy. And he started his job in 2 Saturdays in a row. I came and sat down and had him charge my phone at like 11:05 in the morning.
Gracious. Oh boy. We need to get your phone charging situation fixed. Number 46, Baylor 31, Iowa State 29. Fun game, but not fun during. Baylor comes out and scores basically all of their points in the first half and just kind of holds on, white knuckles it till the very end. And Iowa State, I think, failed a 2-point conversion to tie it. And there you go. Number 44, TCU 30, Baylor 28. I'm sorry, did you have something on the Iowa State game?
Yes, I just wanted to make sure I'm hearing you correctly. So I'm looking at this game, and it appears that this game was sealed by a dumb as fuck throw by Brock Purdy.
Bryce Purdy.
That can't be the case, right? He wouldn't do that. He wouldn't end a game on a what they're calling a dumb as fuck throw.
That is what Bill Connolly wrote here. I do see that. Yeah, that is interesting.
That's crazy to me.
Don't fact check us. Number 44, TCU 30, Baylor 28. Okay.
And then I have not watched. I did not watch a play of that game. I was in New Orleans on Bourbon Good. Street, and I have just not gone back.
Miserable to watch. It was absolutely mm-hmm. miserable. December 4th, Baylor 21, Oklahoma State 16, Big 12 championship. I don't know what else to say other than
it was the perfect game. It was so fun.
It was, well, I was pretty stressed during. I don't get as stressed as other people do, I think, during football games. I was sweating this yeah. one. But it always felt like the defense had it just contained. It always felt like the defense had a handle on it. And boy, howdy, did they. Of course, the McPlay on fourth down to win the Baylor the Big 12 championship there. Just absolutely great.
It was great. That was the game, that in Iowa State. I feel like in my whole life, I have my butthole clenched more for longer.
Yeah.
Both of those games than I ever have.
Yep.
And I feel like most of my friends in real life would consider me like a Baylor sunshine pupper. Like through the few years we were kind of in the wilderness, I was like, no, guys, this is the year. We've got it. I've like almost lost some friendships talking, like trying to convince them that Zach Smith is good, actually. But fair. This game, like when they were driving, I, in my head, like a real conversation I was having was like, okay, you need to prepare yourself for what's about to happen because they're definitely going to score. And even like after first and second down, when they didn't get it, I was like, okay, hold it together because they're definitely going to get it on their third or fourth try. And I've never had a conversation with myself like that before until that game. And yeah. Look at me, egg on my face, yolks on me.
Yolks on you. The top three games I thought were good choices, although I would probably put number three or number two at that top slot. Number three, Texas A&M, Alabama 38, or mm-hmm. Texas A&M 41, Alabama 38. Fantastic mm-hmm. game. Really enjoyed watching that. Ohio State 48, Utah 45 in the Rose Bowl. Just that was fun. Extremely entertaining game. I wish Utah would have won, but mm-hmm. it was a lot of fun to watch. And then Bill Connolly's number one game, Ole Miss 52, Arkansas 51. Don't remember it. Don't have any recollection.
Couldn't tell you a single thing.
I have zero idea what happened there. Didn't watch it. So I just think number three and number two were just watched yeah. by a lot more people. I don't know. I probably would have put those. But you know,
when like I don't do a ton of like college football watching outside of Baylor unless it's like marquee matchups. And I remember I was driving home from Waco on this day when Alabama and A&M were playing, and I saw it and I was like, yep, that's exactly what I'm doing tonight. I'm sitting alone and I'm going to watch this game. And that's like not a thing I really do generally sure. for like non-conference games. And boy, am I glad I did. I like listened to the first half. I've been doing this thing recently, like when I go on walks or whatever, where I open my YouTube TV app. Sorry sure. for bragging. I can afford YouTube oh, yeah. TV now, and but I'll open video. It up. Yeah. I'll open it up and I'll just like put it in my pocket with the screen on and I'll just like pretend I'm listening to the radio. So that's what I did for this game in the first half. And I was like, you could tell by like the third drive, like this was definitely going to get dumb as hell. Like this game yeah. was definitely going to be drunk the whole time. And it yep. was until the very yep. end.
It was a good college football season, not even yeah. from a Baylor perspective. I just think it was overall an entertaining college football season, even with, you know, the SEC having two teams in the championship game. I thought it was a pretty good championship game.
Yeah. I'm all for it. I'm all for like if your two best teams in the country are from the same sure. conference, put them in.
I think it makes sense. Yeah. I'm not inherently against that, but
yeah,
we're not in football season anymore. It's not football season anymore.
It's not football season. I do have one more closing thought for this list for you.
All right.
There's a game that I thought might be on this if I was predicting this when the season started. But to me, it is hilarious that Baylor kicked the shit out of Oklahoma so bad.
So bad.
It wasn't even considered a top 50 game.
It was just a boring game.
It was just an ass whooping.
It was just a boring old game.
No one besides us will probably ever talk about it on a podcast ever again, but we beat the shit out of them.
Yep. It was definitive. That is for
so,
sure.
So that was
You know what else is definitive? Is the symbol
Matt,
money
Please.
The symbol money back guarantee. Hey, symbol is the stock market for sports that allows you to profit off your sports knowledge. You can trade sports teams like stocks, and every time your teams win, you earn cash. We probably should have bought as much Baylor as we probably could have.
We played ourselves.
Oh, well. Use your sports knowledge on Symbol to buy low, sell high, and earn cash when your teams win. SIMBULL.com. Money back guarantee up to $500 if you use promo code BEARS12. That's BEARS12. your deposit money back guarantee up to $500. I don't know how you beat this. If any other betting site or any other sports wagering site or draft, you know, fantasy situation said, hey, if you don't like it, you can just get your $500 back. I've never heard of that anywhere else. And I've been following along with the email updates. A lot of fun to be had over there. Again, that's symbull.com, S-I-M-B-U-L-L.com, promo code BEARS12. New Year's resolutions. You had something you wanted to talk about your New Year's resolutions, and I wanted to give you a pat on the back because it sounds like you're sticking to them. What was your New Year's resolution?
So I have two New Year's resolutions. One, okay. I'm doing Dry January. That's just a thing I do every year because I just feel like...
A nice reset to the system.
It's a nice reset, and I feel like the ceiling for me of being hot is pretty high. I just don't really ever do much to reach that ceiling. So it's like I'm doing a little bit of exercise. I'm hotter than I was a few weeks ago for sure.
I honestly don't know, but you are starting Jake Fromm instead of a talented freshman quarterback, Justin Fields.
So my two goals this year, I want to become a Renaissance man of the kitchen, and I'm doing it. I'm doing so good. Fantastic. I got one of those like meal subscription services where you make your own meals. Like that's not that impressive that I'm doing that.
No, it's a great way to
It's good. Yes, it's good. And I'm picking it up. But I learned it's a pretty easy recipe, but I've made it twice now. I made waffles from scratch twice last weekend. And I have my own homebrew coffee set. So like
Coffee is not.
Well, yes, but make your own homebrew thing isn't nothing. I want to restate my goal. It's to be a Renaissance man of the kitchen. That doesn't mean I can cook a lot of things.
Okay, all right, that's fair.
So like my girlfriend came over for breakfast. I made us some bacon. I made us some waffles. I got some like fresh fruit that we cut up. It was a whole thing, and I made us some coffee. It was very nice. It's like an added layer of what I bring to the table. And my favorite goal that I have this year is goal number two is I am going to walk 1,000 miles this year. 1,000 is a lot of miles, you might say.
It is. Matt,
About 3 miles a day.
Yeah.
I have this really good routine and a really good work-life balance where I can step away for like a longer lunch most days if I need to. So what I've been doing is, and this kind of counterbalances the wanting to be hotter thing, but I have a 6 mile loop that I do in Austin. It's exactly 6 miles. It takes me about an hour and a half. And I always plan it around breakfast or lunch. So like a lot of days I've been stopping, like the 3 mile mark is a Chick-fil-A that opened up in downtown Austin recently. So I'll walk 3 miles, I'll eat some Chick-fil-A, and then I'll walk 3 miles home.
That's fantastic.
What's funny about this to me is because I'm not really doing this to be like, oh, I want to be in shape. I just want to walk 1,000 miles.
Yeah.
And there's a Voodoo Donuts in downtown Austin too. Yep. So I'll be like in like, you know, like athletic clothes, like a sleeveless shirt to get some sun or whatever. And I'll be walking with just like this cute little like donut in my hand, just like
a pink sprinkle in my head. Donut.
Yeah. And like eating a sprinkled donut.
Listening to YouTube TV.
Yeah. So those are my two goals, and I am kicking the hell out of them so far. I have walked 78 miles this year so far.
That's fantastic. Yeah,
I'm doing it. My calves are firm.
You're well on your way. Yeah, that 1,000 miles is a lot. I will help motivate you should you hit any lulls in that. My New Year's resolutions. Yeah, I think my only real one, like, of course, I want to work out more. I want to eat more vegetables. The whole deal, right? The whole be healthier thing. We'll see how long that one lasts, because it's not a very firm resolution. But a real resolution I do have is wanting to maybe not even take any actual action on it, but I do want to fully explore and research working for myself, right? Taking the day job that I have right now and maybe doing that independently for myself down the road at some point. And when you have multiple people, you know, relying on your paycheck as half of the family income, got to be a little bit more careful with it. So I really want to make sure that I have a really good plan to do that maybe next year. So it's a longer term goal. It's a slower burn, but I've already started on that. So
love it.
Yeah.
Are you going to be trading Forex or what's your lane going to be? You think
essential oils. Essential oils. I don't really know what I'm going to do with those essential oils, but I will have them and I will be talking about them.
Good. That's likely, it. That's half the battle.
Likely to high school classmates of mine. And then Yeah, man, it's a pretty fun start to the year. I would have liked about two less losses for the men's basketball team, but it seems like things are aiming upward. Anything else on your mind before we sign off today?
Yeah. Who did we play on Saturday when we lost last week?
That was Texas Tech.
Yes. Yes. I was with Max Garner on Rainy Street during that.
Oh, boy. Oh, boy.
And let me tell you about Max and Garner and his beloved girlfriend who I met. And I think she's so nice. She's I want to hang out with her. She actually told me and my girlfriend, she's like, hey, we should all hang out more. And if you're listening, we should. They told us that they were going to be drunk on Rainy. And I should have taken their word for it.
Yeah.
Because I showed up thinking like, okay, Max wants to watch the basketball game. He's on Rainy. We're going to meet up and we're going to go watch basketball. We went to like four bars with no TVs and got drinks before we went to a place that had a TV. So I only watched the second half of the game, which was like fine. But you know, I'm not drinking this month. So it's just like, I was cold and sober. And I was the only one that was both of those things because everyone else dressed appropriately.
And watching Texas Tech.
Yeah. So we ended up going to a Hawaiian place on Rainy Street and watching us lose. And I got a brisket burger and I was in hell like 6 hours later.
I'm glad you bring up Max because for how much you think you don't know about basketball, I know equally as little about baseball. And Max Garner, who will be helping out Our Daily Bears with baseball coverage, I think we should have him on here and kind of give us a primer about, hey, how do dumb people watch baseball? What should we be watching?
Yes.
Other than bat, hit, ball, catch ball, run base, what should we be watching for? I think that'd be a really fun thing to do there.
Well, Matt, I don't know if you know this about me, but a few years ago, as a bit, I decided to like baseball.
Yes.
Yeah. Like a joke I did on Twitter for a few weeks, but I, without a hint of irony in my voice, I now love the Mets.
Yeah,
I watched this, and I watched 130 baseball games last year. Like I watched them. So, you know, I consider myself somewhat. They're so fun. They're so fun, and we have the best pitching staff in baseball, and nothing else. And you know what we did to fix that problem this offseason? We signed the best pitcher in baseball. So it's scary hours for everyone. But yeah, Max told me that we have what he believes to be the best college baseball player in America on our team this year. And I don't think he was making a joke. So yeah, no, let's get Max on. Let's talk some baseball. I would also love to get our good friend Tej on here to talk Texas baseball, to hear what he's got to say about that.
That would be interesting for sure. Tell me a little bit more about the Mets. Just like, I'll give you 30 seconds to like, tell me more about the Mets.
Oh yeah. So they sold the team a few years ago. We have a new billionaire owner and we spent a ton of money up the middle last year. We have two.